Hello and welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. It's New Comic Book Day. And yet, I'm not talking about comics. Well, kind of. I'm talking about the Muse. And let me tell you, there's a lot going on in comics right now. I had like 25 different stories that I had to pick from to discuss in this episode, and I ended up only picking two. Yes, only two. Can you believe it? Well, I mean, there's a couple more that I kind of wanted to talk about. There's a new creative team over at Kick-Ass. That's cool. Steve Niles, which is a Fantastic Four writer, and Marcia Frazine is doing the artwork, picking up with issue 7. Excited for that. Not going to talk about it. There's a teaser for a new Cloak & Dagger title. Just a preview image that says Shadows and Light with the dagger emblem on it. Sounds cool. I'm not going to talk about it because that's going to be announced at some point today. So we don't know a whole lot of information on that yet. There's talks of another Joker movie with Jared Leto starring in it. That's kind of weird. I don't know how people felt about his Joker imitation, incarnation, representation, whatever you want to call it, in the Suicide Squad films. I'm not going to talk about it because there's another Joker movie that's in production. So I don't think DC would do two different Joker movies. Wolverine's coming back. His claws are going to be setting stuff on fire, apparently, because they can get really hot. That's cool. Don't really want to talk about it because it doesn't really excite me that much. But there are two things that are pretty interesting to me right now. And the first one is that GameStop is going to start selling comics. Now, I thought this was kind of weird, and I'm surprised that not a whole lot of people are reporting on it, because it is a very interesting way for GameStop to get into a new market. Now, for those of you that don't know what GameStop is, it's a video game retail store. It's been around for many, many years. I think it's the only one left. There used to be quite a few back in the day, like EB Games and some other ones. I think GameStop bought all those companies. Some just strictly went out of business. And, you know, the gaming market is going through changes just like the comic book market is. A lot more companies are moving to digital distribution, selling directly through like Steam on the PC or through whatever stores the PlayStation, the Xbox have. So not as many people buying physical copies of video games as they used to be. Very, very similar to comics. And so GameStop as a retailer is always trying to find new ways to create revenue to make the company succeed. Makes perfect sense. They've tried, you know, accessories and shirts and video games. I think they were doing manga. They might still be doing manga. Well, it seems that now they're going to start testing selling comic books in their stores. And this is coming up pretty soon, by the way. I believe the start date for this is next week. So the books that are coming out on June 13th will be available at GameStop starting, I think, that same week. It might be that Friday, the 15th. I think that's a pretty interesting move by this retailer to get into comics, because I do feel like there is a lot of crossover with nerd culture among different types of medium. So I know that not everyone that listens to this listens for video game talk or movie talk or TV talk. That's why I generally don't do that stuff, and I think there's plenty of other places that do that really well. My focus on this podcast is strictly comic books for a reason. That is my number one passion. Of course, I do love video games. I play the hell out of some Hearthstone on my computer. I've got a ton of Steam games available. I love playing PC games. But it's not something that I'm completely passionate about and I want to talk about all the time. So comics is what I focus on. But there are people who have those kind of interests, right? You might be one of those people where you like comics and video games and TVs and movies and all that stuff. I usually leave that kind of talk to the Nerd Legion podcast, which I do with Nick. So you can find that at nerdlegion.com if you want. But I find this move by GameStop really interesting, and it made perfect sense because the guy that's spearheading this thing is James Parker. And for those of you that are familiar with the name, or maybe not his name in particular, but maybe the Hastings bookstores, who recently went out of business, I want to say a year, year and a half ago, Hastings had this program where they started selling comics in their bookstores as an additional means of revenue. And that was spearheaded by James Parker over there. And now it looks like he has moved from Hastings, which is bankrupt and no longer in business, and has moved over to GameStop and is trying the same strategy. And what's interesting is that the comic book strategy worked really, really well for Hastings. Now, I know you probably don't have a Hastings near you. I don't have one near me. But when I lived in Texas, I did frequent one, and they had a great selection of comics. In fact, comics did so well for Hastings that they even had their own, it wasn't like an imprint, but they had their own separate company, we'll say. I don't know. It was kind of weird, like an offshoot company, where they had exclusive variant covers that they sold. I believe it was the Four Color Grails. Those of you that collect a lot of variant covers may remember Four Color Grails. That was a subsidiary of Hastings. So if you couldn't go to a Hastings shop, you could order your variant covers from Four Color Grails directly, and those were actually Hastings variants. And that was a really interesting way to do things. GameSpot is going to be trying out this new comic distribution thing, and they're starting off really, really small just to see how it goes. GameStop, of course, owns ThinkGeek, or it might be the other way around. Maybe ThinkGeek owns GameStop. But they're going to be distributing this. I believe the number is at 20 different stores around the country. So most likely, your store will not be one of those. I think for the majority of places here in the U.S. that have a GameStop near them, those GameStops are oftentimes in a shopping mall. And so those stores are very, very small because shopping mall rent is very expensive. For those of you that have freestanding GameStops, and I have quite a few here, you might be in luck with this new comic book test in that area, especially if you don't have a comic shop near you. Now, I'm fortunate enough where I have three comic shops within, actually, you know what? It's probably more than that. It's probably four or five if I want to expand it to like a 30-minute drive. And that's not a terrible drive either, right? I have three over in Greenville, which is probably about 15, 20-minute drive. There's a couple over in Anderson, which is probably 20-minute drive the other direction. And nothing quite near me. But I do have a GameStop that's probably 10 minutes away. And granted, I have moved a large chunk of my comic book reading to reading digitally on Comixology because it's so simple. But as I mentioned in the interview that's coming up on Thursday with my guests, there is something about actually going to a comic shop and having that experience and talking to people that have similar interests as you. And if this is something that GameStop is offering, where people not only just go for video games, but there's actually people knowledgeable about the stuff that they sell, could be pretty interesting for some folks. Now, the problem with this is it's not going to cover all the comics, right? Like, it's not going to be like a comic shop with video games that they sell on the side. The main business is, of course, still video games, so they're just going to have a rack, a spinner rack, in their shops, where they're going to sell some popular titles. And most of these seem to be Marvel and DC titles, I believe, in the quote that I read, that is their focus right now, and it makes total sense because Marvel and DC do make up the majority chunk of the comic book retail market. Now, for someone like me who's more interested in what the indie publishers are doing, this may not be something that I want to get into. But, you know, maybe if I go and I'm near a GameStop and I want to pick up some of these Marvel or DC books that, you know, maybe I didn't feel like getting elsewhere, then why not, right? Maybe if something new comes out, or maybe if they have a variant cover, I don't think they're going to have variants. They'll probably just carry A covers. But could be pretty interesting, really. I saw a couple pictures of the listings. They have Batman listed on there, Black Panther, Cable, Captain America, Old Man Logan, Rick and Morty. That's not a Marvel or DC, but makes perfect sense for that audience to have Rick and Morty comics there. Of course, same goes with Saga and Spectacular Spider-Man. So I think this could be really interesting new direction for GameStop. If it helps their business, then I'm all for it. I'm not sure how well it will do for them. But if this is a test trial and they end up maybe giving more shelf space to comics, it could be really interesting for a lot of people that don't have a comic shop near them. So I look forward to seeing how this whole thing progresses. The big thing that I want to talk about, though, is apparently, and I don't know how true this is because there's no announcement, I haven't seen hints of it, but apparently DC Comics has trademarked Cliffhanger. Now, I want to give a shout-out to Ronnie, frequent guest on this program, also host a multitude of other podcasts like Ultimate Marvel Podcast, Absolute DC Podcast, etc., etc., etc. He showed me this bit of a rumor, and we'll just call it that because I haven't seen anyone else talk about this elsewhere. But generally, trademark filings do offer some kind of indication to what can happen in the future. I know in the past I've done some digging into trademarks myself, and I've come up with a few tidbits of interesting information that ended up coming true 6 months plus down the line. So it's very possible that DC is actually looking to relaunch Cliffhanger with an exclamation point. Now, if you're fairly new to comics, you may not know what Cliffhanger is, But I think this rumor does make a little bit of sense. Cliffhanger was an imprint of Wildstorm Comics, Wildstorm Studios, which of course DC now owns. Now, all they're doing right now with Wildstorm is The Wildstorm, which absolutely adore that book, and The Wildstorm Michael Cray, which I love that book as well. Just wish the art was a little better, but the writing's fantastic. And that's about it. But as we've seen with DC over these last couple of months, they're really trying to do a multitude of things. So, of course, they announced the Kids line, the DC Zoom line, the DC Black Label line. They've launched the New Age of Heroes stuff. They're doing the Young Animal stuff. Vertigo's still kind of there, but not really. And, of course, if they own Wildstorm, they also own Cliffhanger. Makes perfect sense. Cliffhanger was a really interesting indie publisher within Wildstorm. It was a completely creator-owned thing, distributed and published by Wildstorm, but I don't believe, if I remember correctly, it didn't have the Wildstorm logo. I'd have to go into my boxes and look at my old Cliffhanger stuff and see. I didn't do that before recording. But there's some really, really cool comics. A few that came off the top of my head is Crimson, which I know I've talked about before. That was by Humberto Ramos. It was like a vampire story. Battle Chasers by Joe Madureira was absolutely incredible. It was like a high fantasy story. As a matter of fact, it just got turned into a video game. If you are a gamer, going back to that, you can go to the Steam store and you can purchase the Battle Chasers video game. I've played it. It's quite fantastic. And I would love to see a new Battle Chasers coming in. Of course, Danger Girl came out of that. That was J. Scott Laudell. And Danger Girl went on for many, many years. Even after Cliffhanger shut down, they were publishing Danger Girl at, I can't remember what other publishers, but it's been through like five or six different publishers as well. What else was on there? There was Chris Bacallo and Joe Kelly did Steampunk. That was pretty cool. Humberto Ramos had another book called Out There. Kurt Busiek had Aerosmith with Carlos Pacheco. That was quite interesting. And I would say Jeff Johns' first, or definitely one of the first, creator-owned books. This is way before he got huge. The Possessed, which was a story about this group of priests that are sponsored by the Vatican to travel around the world and perform exorcisms. And it was pretty cool. That came out in like 2003. So he was doing, what was he doing in 03? Avengers, I think, is what he was writing. So this is before Green Lantern, right? Like, Jeff Johns, I think, became a household name when he launched Green Lantern, or relaunched, I should say, with that Green Lantern Rebirth. And that was in 05, 06. So this was years before that. Really interesting books that came out of the Cliffhanger line. And I would love to see them come back. I'm a little weary about this whole thing, though, because I don't understand why DC would want to launch yet another imprint. And I understand that they want to diversify their lines, they want to try different things, but it seems like right now we're in such a fantastic place for creator-owned comics that I'm not sure what the point is, right? If a creator can go to, you know, Lion Forge or Titan or Vault or Black Mask or Aftershock, or even Comixology Originals now, right? We're not going to talk about that today because I talked about that over the weekend when it was first announced. But there's so many places that creators can go to try to push their own creator-owned stuff. Why a creator would want to just jump onto Cliffhanger to do this, I'm not quite sure I understand. In particular, because of the fact that DC still owns Vertigo. I don't know if there's been some kind of like, is the Vertigo name jaded? Do people not want to put Vertigo books out anymore? I'm not quite sure what's going on there, right? For guys that work at DC as writers or artists or whatever else, if I'm not mistaken, part of the contract for working at DC gives DC kind of a first look at any creator-owned projects that those people might be working on. And, you know, if they decide not to do it, then that's fine. You know, the creator can go somewhere else. But if DC likes the book, then it's part of the contract where they will publish that book under the Vertigo line, most likely. But now there's so many, right? Like, we have the New Age of Heroes stuff, which isn't quite creator-owned, but I don't know, it's like in a kind of a gray area, right? Because they're pushing these as like artistic visions of reimaginings of characters. I'm not sure what the exact pitch is. But, you know, the artist is being put first in those books, not the writer. You've got the young animal stuff, which I know is kind of up in the air now. And there's been some original stuff in there, but it's still very much set in the DC universe, kind of sorts. And then, of course, you know, Black Label and all that stuff, where they're more like Elseworldsy titles with DC characters. So I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a place, but why not just use Vertigo? You know, it's been a few years now since Vertigo just kind of has disappeared, really. There used to be a time where the Vertigo name meant something, and it just doesn't feel like that's the case anymore. There's a couple books being put out over there. I can't remember the titles. I mean, I guess like Lucifer is still there and Hellblazer. The new Sandman universe is technically Vertigo, but for those of you that pay attention to announcements, they didn't even like talk about Sandman being a Vertigo book. They just kind of said the Sandman universe. Estra City's still over there, but that's kind of now becoming a quarterly oversized graphic novel type thing. So I'm not quite sure what the deal is over there. Maybe they're trying to stick more with horror books over there. Oh, that's what's out there now. Imaginary Friends, Motherlands, and Deathbed. Those are all written, of course, by DC writers who are doing their own creator-owned stuff. And I'm just not sure what the problem is with the Vertigo name. You know, it seems to me like DC should really push quite a bit on the Vertigo name and not put it by the wayside. You know, there's a lot of history there. And I mean, I'm pretty sure we can say that the majority of comic readers now have been reading comics for a long time. So that name does mean something to these people. But whatever. Like I said, I would love to see these cliffhanger books come back. In particular, Battle Chasers, which I absolutely adored. I still do. I've reread that thing many times. And I don't think it even finished. I think the last issue never came out. I think that's right. So I would love to see at least that one issue come out from somewhere. Please. Joe Matz, come on, bro. You can do it. Anyways, let me know what you think about those stories. I'm sure that some of you are familiar with these books and have some words to chime in on. You can get in touch with me on Twitter at Geekvine. Now is the time of the week in which I talk about books that will be coming out this week in a segment I call The Comic Predictor. And I've got a few books out. Some should be no surprise. Of course, this week sees the debut issue of Justice League and Justice League number 1 from DC Comics, written by Scott Snyder with art by Jim Chung. And, I mean, do I need to say what this is? It's Scott Snyder doing Justice League. You know, no Justice just finished. I haven't read the last issue yet. In fact, I'm a little behind on my reading from last week. I think I picked up too many books, so I wasn't able to finish everything, but I'm looking forward to it, and I do look forward to seeing how Justice League ends up going in this first issue. I think Snyder's got some interesting ideas, and I don't think that the stuff we saw in Metal and in No Justice are really an indication to what he plans to do with this book. So, looking forward to that. Again, Justice League number 1 from DC Comics. Also from DC, we've got The Unexpected, written by Steve Orlando with art by Ryan Sook. And I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's one of those DC Metal tie-ins. It's a New Age of Hero books. It's got Firebrand in it, whom I love. There's a bunch of cool characters in it. It looks like a very, I don't know. You know, I was thinking about this. In some respects, it reminds me a little bit of what they're doing with like the Terrifics. It seems like a lot of these books have that similar tone. And I hope that's ends up not being the case, because I don't want all these books to be somewhat similar. But it looks like it's like a group of like dimension hopping, magic fighting beings. I don't know. It sounds cool. And this book is gonna have deep ties into Thanagar, which I do enjoy that. I wish DC would do a lot more with Thanagar. But looking forward to seeing what The Unexpected is about. And again, that's from DC Comics. Next up from Marvel, we have The Immortal Hulk number 1. And this is written by Al Ewing, Joe Bennett, and Alex Ross on art. And, you know, Hulk's been gone for a while. The stuff that showed up in Infinity Countdown with the Hulk was really interesting to me. And I think this is going to change the Hulk mythology a little bit, but also bringing him back to, I think, what made Hulk great, you know, 30, 40 years ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this goes. I don't have a whole lot of hopes on it. I'm not sure how much I'll follow this book, to be honest, going forward. I really dug the She-Hulk book. I know it's just called Hulk, but it was about the She-Hulk. I thought that was a really fantastic take on the Hulk mythos. And, you know, now we've got Bruce Banner back because everything that's old is new again. So, again, that's Immortal Hulk number one from Marvel Comics. Next up, let's go on over to Aftershock. And there's a few books coming out this week. There's three books from Aftershock this week. The only one I want to talk about is Shipwreck number 6. This is written by Warren Ellis with art by Phil Hester. This is the final issue of the series. And the reason I haven't talked about it on this podcast is it's been like 8 months since issue 5. And I know there's probably been something with Warren Ellis being a little busy writing the Wildstorm, and that's fine. But like I said before, I love Warren Ellis, but he's got this thing about finishing his books. So I'm glad we're finally getting this final issue of this book. I have absolutely adored the entire thing, and I look forward to finally being able to read this as one cohesive story, because it is a gigantic mind F-word. Seriously. But it's been thoroughly enjoyable. And this is Phil Hester at the top of his game. You know, Phil's been in the industry for a long time. In fact, my guest on Thursday and I talked about Phil Hester for a few minutes because he's also a big fan. And man, he had this eye surgery like 2 years ago. And I don't think the man has ever drawn as well as he's drawing right now. So very much looking forward to Shipwreck number 6. Again, that's from Aftershock Comics. Over at Dark Horse, I'll be picking up Sword Daughter number 1. This is written by Brian Wood. And who's the artist on this? Mac Chatter. So Brian Wood from Northlanders, which I really adored as well. Mark is from Lazarus, which is a fantastic, fantastic book. I think that might be coming to an end also. And this is kind of how do I want to put this? It almost gave me like that Lone Cub and Wolf feel. We'll see if that's the case. But it's about a father and a daughter. They're Vikings, and they kind of travel through the countryside on a revenge quest because their entire village was killed. And there's some like samurai elements apparently in here that's talked about in the solicit. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting to do like a Viking take on Eastern type stories like this. I very much look forward to seeing what Sword Daughter is about. And I do trust in Brian Wood being able to tell these kind of stories. Again, I think he proved himself with Northlanders. So he's obviously a fan of Vikings. I love Vikings as well. And I love samurai, so why not? Again, that's Sword Daughter number 1 from Dark Horse Comics. Next up, I've got a Vault entry in here, Vagrant Queen number 1. This is written by Magdalene Visaggio, which some of you might know from Kim and Kim. That was over at Black Mask. I think it's a great book. And generally, that's something I enjoy, but I really dug Kim and Kim quite a bit. And the art is by Jason Smith. And this is, it seems maybe like a sci-fi fantasy type story where this child queen, Alita, she was driven away from her kingdom, her empire, her intergalactic empire, and has been kind of traveling through the galaxy trying to avoid being detected by people that might want to kill her. But something happens in her kingdom, in her empire, and she needs to go back and I guess maybe try to regain her throne. So I'm looking forward to that. I think Max is a very interesting writer, a really interesting person as well. And she is doing Eternity Girl over at Young Animal. And I think that book's quite special. It's not an easy read, but it's really, really interesting. So I look forward to seeing what she does in her creator-owned book, Vagrant Queen, number 1. The final book is going to be Brother Nash, number 1, from Titan Comics. And this is being billed as American Gods meets Preacher and Hellboy. So that has me pretty curious. The cover looks pretty, pretty awesome. This is written by Bridget O'Connell with art by Sanford Green. And I gotta tell you, Sanford Green is an incredible talent. Incredible talent. He was doing the Luke Cage Iron Fist book over at Marvel. Just amazing. And he's local to me, so I see him at cons all the time. Super, super nice guy. One of the nicest people. Like, you can go to his table. He'll sketch whatever you want for you. He'll talk to you for hours. He always shows up with, like, his wife or kids or sometimes over there. Really, really cool dude. And his art is absolutely brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. I can't believe he's not doing more and more books. So I'm glad to see Sanford Green doing a book for Titan. Again, the premise seems a little cool, a little kooky. Nash is a trucker. and he sees ghosts, and he's on the road and picks up a hitchhiker, and dangerous hilarity ensues. Again, that's Brother Nash, number one from Titan Comics. I look forward to seeing this. I don't think I'm going to be disappointed, even if I don't dig the story. Just looking at Sanford's art, I think this book will be something really special. And I think that's going to wrap it up for this episode. I apologize for it being late. This was supposed to be yesterday's episode. Today's episode will actually be coming out Friday, even though on Thursday's episode, I say there's no episode until Monday. I know, super complicated. I generally record all these episodes out of order. The Tuesday episode, well, the episode that generally comes out on Tuesday, the news/comic predictor episode, I usually record Monday night or Tuesday morning to be released that day because I do news, and so I want to have as current stuff as I can. Even if the news that I'm talking about is not the most current news, like I said in this episode, I usually have 10, 15, 20 stories, and I pick maybe two or three to talk about. But I usually put it off almost till time of release, and things just got crazy today. I wasn't able to do that, and so I'm putting this episode out on Wednesday instead. The episode that's coming out today, or that was supposed to come out today, is The Rant. That'll be out on Friday. That's already recorded. Tomorrow is Thursday, which of course means it's Therapy Thursday. And I've got two incredible guests. I've talked about Cul-de-Sac before on this podcast. I'm going to have Andrew Shaw and Will Playton on the podcast. We're going to talk about the book and about horror comics, about comics overseas, about con experiences. It was a fantastic chat. We recorded. It was 7 o'clock my time, 7 a.m. in the morning, like 9 o'clock their time because of a 14-hour time difference in Australia. And it was absolutely fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This does not come up in the interview, but Andrew and Will are kind enough that they're going to be shipping me a few copies of their book here to the U.S. As I'll mention in the interview, it's a little difficult to get the book here because shipping from Australia is like $20 for a book. They're going to be kind enough to send me just some copies to gift to you guys that listen to this podcast. So I'll be talking about that probably not until next week on Monday when I do Top of the Pile. I'll give some details as to how we'll go about doing all that jazz. But for now, I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for sticking with me, for chatting with me on Twitter. I really love the feedback in all the episodes. Some of you are constantly chatting up with me on there. I absolutely love it. Don't ever feel like you can't talk to me about anything. If you don't feel comfortable doing it in public, feel free to send me a DM on Twitter at Geekvine. You can email, of course, comictalktoday@gmail.com. Leave those iTunes reviews. I know I've got a few. I haven't talked about them in a while. Maybe I'll start doing like one a week. But thank you to all of you that are doing that. And I want to give a huge shout out to Mike over at Mike Games Weekly Reads and Geek Brunch and Geek Brunch Retrocast. He has been a huge inspiration to me. And the last couple of episodes of his podcast, he's talked about this podcast because he really enjoys listening. So I wanted to publicly shout him out here because he has been a huge inspiration to me over the years in ultimately getting me to the point where I'm doing this podcast. And if you enjoy this, go give Mike a shout out and check his stuff out at Mike Ames Weekly Reads or Geek Brunch Podcast. And those are all at geekbrunchpodcast.com. That's going to be it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with Therapy Thursday. Catch you then.